What a great God we have. And we look forward to an eternity when we will enjoy his presence and all he has promised to those who love him. The wonder and awe of the salvation that is so great that could take a room full of sinners like this, like we were, like we are, cleanse us, make us new, cause us to become his children for time and eternity. How awesome that is. Thinking this afternoon of perhaps the most familiar verse in all the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, in order that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life." That's in the context of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, when a very religious man, a leader in the nation Israel, a teacher of the Old Testament scriptures, came to Jesus one night and acknowledged, "You must be from God. We're aware of that, because no one could do the mighty things you do unless God was with him." Jesus doesn't pursue that line of conversation. He simply says to Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom that God has promised to establish on this earth someday." Now Nicodemus is set back. He starts talking about the greatness of Christ as a teacher and perhaps a prophet, doing mighty miracles and mighty works. And Jesus turns the conversation to tell Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom that the Messiah will someday establish." And Nicodemus is confused. "How can I be born again? That's something beyond my ability. I can't go back and experience another physical birth for sure." And the point was, you're right. There's nothing you can do. And that's where John 3:16 fits so beautifully. That it takes the intervention of God. And that's why Jesus Christ was there addressing Nicodemus. You can't be saved. You can't be cleansed from your sin. You can't have the hope of the glory and blessings that God has promised unless you're born again. And you can't do it. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing here on earth as he talks to Nicodemus. That conversation will be carried in John chapter 3, that the Son of Man must be lifted up. He must be crucified so that those who believe in him might have eternal life. We sung about the mercy of God and heard that message and his grace and how he meets our every need. But that all centers in Jesus Christ. What God has done for us. And it's all been accomplished. It's all been done. God so loved the world. How amazing that is. That the eternal God loves us, loves this fallen, sin-sick world, the people in it, with such a love that he had his Son leave the glories of heaven, be born into the human race. And he came to what? As Jesus said, "I came to give my life as a ransom for many." To pay the penalty for their sin so that by faith in me they might be born again. Nothing we can do. Nicodemus was right. How can I be born again? There's nothing I can do to accomplish that. That was true. What he needed was God's intervention, and there the person of the Son of God talking with him was the one who was here to do for him what he could not do for himself. And that's the message that has come down to us today. That God of love and mercy and grace has provided salvation to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Pay the penalty for our sin and enjoy God's presence for eternity. For the wages of sin is death. We struggle with that. We'd like to be accepted by God on the basis of our efforts, our works, our religious activity. No. It's by mercy, by grace. It's the manifestation of God's love. That is the greatest demonstration of love that God has ever given. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's wonderful. You think every person would be thrilled to hear this message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that everyone who believes in him would not have to perish, but have eternal life. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work. You don't have to join this church. You don't have to be baptized here. You don't have to take communion. You don't have to try to keep the Ten Commandments. None of that can pay the penalty for your sin. For the wages of sin is death. Christ came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. God intervened with the purpose of acting on our behalf by providing his Son to pay our penalty so we wouldn't have to perish. All God requires of us is a response so that everyone who believes in Christ that he, the Son of God, died in my place to pay the penalty for my sin, might not perish, but have eternal life. That's why the scripture can say, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through faith in Christ. Isn't it beautiful? What a wonderful message we have to tell to people. It's what happened to us. That we heard and by God's grace believed. We weren't any better than anyone else. We weren't any less sinful. God makes clear, there's none righteous. All have sinned. It's not that we were better than someone else or someone else is better than us. We're all in the same hopeless condition. But the hope in our hopelessness is there is a God of love, mercy, and grace. He sent his Son to this earth to die to pay our penalty. Now what God does require of us is we recognize our hopeless, sinful condition, which is a blow to our pride. We like the song, "I Did It My Way." But the Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of that road is death, destruction. God has made a way for us to be forgiven, for us to become his children, to us to know the peace that he brings to a heart and mind, for us to know the hope that will go beyond this life. God sent his Son to be our Savior. Have you ever responded to that? Have you ever really believed that Jesus Christ died to pay your penalty and trusted Him as your Savior. That's the message that we share with one another. The desire is not that you be a more righteous person, that you try harder to please God. Desire is you stop and say, God, I can't do anything except trust what you have done for me. And then God does what only He can do. He makes you new on the inside. He forgives you, cleanses you. You are spiritually born again. And now you belong to God for time and eternity. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to know the Savior who loved us and died for us. What a beautiful message it is that you love the world. You love the people who were in rebellion against you. You loved us when we were lost in our sin. You did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We could not cause ourselves to be born again. We had no hope. We were without hope in the world. And yet the greatness of your grace, the depths of your love, provided your Son to come to this earth, to take our place and pay our penalty, so that you could offer to us a free gift without charge that could only be accepted by placing our trust in the one who loved us and died for us. Lord, I pray for any who might be here who don't know the joy and peace of sins forgiven, who don't know what it means to truly be born again. May they take hold of this message by faith tonight and experience the power of your salvation. Thank you for the message that we are privileged to proclaim and share. May you use it in our lives and the lives of many others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.